Hefting his camera to scan the land, Eric was eager to explore the copse of trees along the north side of the dig, where Beth had emerged from the forest during the night. It was about 300 yards from the actual work site. The river backed up to it, and he could smell the water.
The other crowd. If you're out there, I will find you.
Night had fallen so quickly. Eric had started his walk to the forest when the sun was on the horizon, but now the half-moon held court low in the sky. He entered the woods, picking his way slowly through the overgrown scrub and litter of dried twigs and old leaves. He recognized oaks, but had never paid attention in science class, so everything else was just a tree. Eric realized he should exercise more stealth, as Anya would say. If they heard him coming, they'd flee for sure. How did one attract the other crowd?
With rainbows and Broadway show tunes.
This truly was a lame assignment. His father had suggested it as a means to kick-starting his career before he even graduated high school. A few credits on a major TV show would look sweet on his resume. Eric swung the camera to the right. What he heard sounded like a branch breaking. The forest flora showed in various shades of green and black through the night lens. A blur of gray swept from the left side of the camera frame. Eric swung to the left, but did not sight the anomaly.
Something is out there.
With his heart racing, he ventured forward, stepping lightly. He'd seen the movies. Blair Witch Project, Children of the Corn, all the Halloween movies, and the complete Nightmare on Elm Street series. Nothing good ever came to those who ventured into the woods alone. It was classic horror movie fare. But he wasn't alone. He had the camera. It was like being alone, but not. Was he starting to creep himself out?
No way. Come out, ghosties. I'm not afraid of you.
Whoa!
Something nudged his ankle. He stumbled. Eric swung the camera and scanned the ground. Leaves and branches. If Anya was right, people were kidnapping workers from the dig site. But could a person sneak up on him unaware in the middle of the forest? It was impossible to walk quietly through all the branches and foliage. A person would have to be a ghost, or a fairy flying silently through the air, to get the jump on anyone. Eric swung around, scanning his periphery. He had wandered quite far. He couldn't see the dim light from the enemy camp on the peat bog anymore. He could barely see 10 feet in front of him. The tree canopy blocked out all moonlight, and the night vision lens distorted depth. The owl made Eric smile. Something was watching him, just not a human something. Lifting the camera to his eye, he moved slowly in a circle, taking in the narrow tree column. The wide black spaces between the trees menaced with their utter blackness. It made him feel imprisoned, and yet the breeze listing at the nape of his neck only heightened his increasing anxiety. A breeze? There was no breeze. But wasn't this exactly like the other night? Anya had also felt a weird breeze the night they'd invaded the enemy camp, only she hadn't said anything to him. But he'd known. She had been creeped out then.
Whoa!
A face suddenly appeared immediately before the camera. It opened its mouth wide to reveal a gaping black maw.
Holy shit!
Eric jerked his camera hand down a few inches. Wits fled, but he clutched the camera to focus again. He'd looked away, and now he couldn't find it again. It had been a face, and not an owl's face. It had been human, or something resembling human with two eyes and that big open mouth. Cripes, what had a mouth like that?
Wasn't there. Couldn't have been. I didn't hear anything. Is anyone there?
Eric turned the camera lens toward his face.
I'm hot on their trail. There's something out there. I know I found them, but who or what are they?
Eric jerked his gaze left to right. When not looking through the camera lens, his vision was poor, only picking up shadows and black, foggy tree trunks. Something fluttered near his ear. Eric swung the camera to the right, then realized the lens was still facing him, so he began to narrate.
It's very close. Whatever it is. I feel like the temperature has dropped a few degrees. That's what happens when ghosts are around, right? Hell, I don't want to see a ghost. There are no ghosts. Chill, Kritz. It was a stupid bird. The owl.
Eric skipped ahead and immediately tripped. Groping with his free hand, his fingers swept the chill air. His knees buckled and he fell. The camera fell onto a pile of leaves. Body prone, Eric dug his fingers into the cool, moist leaf cover. Something grabbed him around the ankle. He groped for the camera, but couldn't reach it. The bed and breakfast didn't offer ensuite bathrooms. Four rooms shared one bathroom at the end of the hall, and only two of those rooms belonged to the owner's children. Anya dressed in the tiny bathroom, then peeked out the doorway down the hall before heading over to Eric's room. She waited to hear signs of life from inside his room. Funny how she had initially been worried about keeping him out of the pubs when the only one who had been tipping back the spirits lately had been her. She had a headache from Daniel's wine this morning, which presented a sharp pain in her right temple. It didn't matter how much that bottle had cost, she'd kill for an aspirin. Trying the knob, she opened the door a crack. The bed was made. Some of Eric's clothes were folded neatly by the pillow. The sun had barely peeked above the horizon.
Impressive. He must be downstairs loading up on black pudding.
Eric wasn't downstairs. He'd probably gone off filming again, she thought. Anya filled up on fresh cinnamon rolls and then went and left a note for him in his room. Rain poured throughout the day, and she spent the better part of the time at a body shop in Cork, getting a new back window put in the Mini Cooper. Thankfully, she'd been able to slip out before Mr. Riley had noticed. When she returned to the bed and breakfast, supper was brewing in the kitchen. Anya skipped upstairs to find her note still laying on Eric's bed right where she'd left it. Her sense of something not being right teetered toward the orange security alert zone. She lingered in the dining room until Mrs. Riley popped in with fresh biscuits.
Did I miss Eric?
Haven't seen him all day, dear. Didn't see him last night either. He must have tucked in early, though you did come in rather late.
Did you find the wine I left?
Harvey tilted it back after midnight. I hope you weren't saving it for yourself. It's not often the mister has wine. He's a pint man, he is. Said it had a bit of a corky taste. Must have been a cheap bottle, eh?
About $5,000 cheap, actually.
Anya left the woman with her mouth hanging open, the plate of biscuits tilting dangerously over the table. The inn sat at the edge of the village. Anya just caught the tail end of a bicycle troop rolling through. They did tours across the countryside, and next time Anya was here, not on business, she fully intended to join the fun. Daniel pulled up and jumped from the jeep in all haste. He reached into the back of the vehicle.
What's up?
Mum found something this afternoon on her walk.
Daniel held up a video camera. A very familiar camera. Anya grasped the handheld camera.
This is Eric's. Where'd your mother find it? Where's Eric? Have you seen him?
You'd better take a look at what's been recorded. Let's go inside, shall we?
Confused that she held something Eric would never have left lying around to be found by a cross-country hiking old woman, Anya let Daniel tug her inside. Mrs. Riley stood in her kitchen, examining the empty wine bottle.
I see you shared the wine. It's a lovely year, isn't it, Blythe?
Oh, Daniel! Why did you do things like this?
She set the bottle on the counter and marched out of the room.
Ugh, he's mad.
She quickly descended into the cellar.
She's not a fan.
Anya sat down and powered up the camera.
Where did your mother find this?
In the forest edging the dig site Slater was overseeing. She was hunted for morels. Delicious this time of year, especially in a nice white wine sauce.
The digital screen flashed, and the green and black night image appeared. It looked like trees and foliage. Eric must have been filming in the forest. The camera angle tilted. The image became fuzzy, then went sharp. Eric's face appeared, the green light highlighting his forehead and making his eyes eerie black. The terror in his eyes seemed real. Then Anya saw that Eric had dropped the camera. His fingers scrabbled before the lens. Leaves blocked the view, and then... She leaned forward, not sure she was seeing what it appeared to be.
He's being dragged away?
Appears so. The other crowd doesn't like it when people poke about in their business. And they do have a penchant for the red-haired ones.
Anya rewound the video to point where the camera had been dropped. It was difficult to make out clear shapes or determine what was foliage, tree trunks, or Eric's flailing legs and arms, but she did notice what looked like a slender leg near where Eric's feet must have been lifted to drag him. A man? A mere few frames gave her good view of the attacker's feet.
Does the other crowd often wear lace-up leather work boots? Eric's been taken by a human, a real person, if he's been taken. You haven't seen him in Ballybeg?
No, I haven't.
Mrs. Riley appeared at the top of the stairs with a load of laundry neatly folded. She scowled at Daniel and turned down the hallway toward the bedrooms.
Why did she call you mad? Do you do things like that often?
Things like what?
With the wine. Was it really that expensive?
It was. And no, I only offer the good stuff to the pretty girls.
Did your mother see anything else in the area where she found this?
You're going to investigate.
Of course I am. After I've checked all the pubs to make sure Eric isn't holing up and having a laugh at my expense.
Maybe I should go along with you?
Yeah, thanks, but we'll cover more ground separately. You could help by taking two of the pubs.
Sure. I'll look into the north and south pubs.
Thanks. I'll catch up with you later. Thanks for this.
At O'Shanley's, Anya was offered a pint before she could even ask a question. She set the video camera on the counter. Outside, Daniel's Jeep rolled by, and the barmaid waved at him as he passed.
I see Daniel's taking a liking to you.
Daniel's my guide.
Not a lot of guiding to do about here, is there? Here's the village. There's the dig. There you go, nice as can be.
He showed me his wine cellar last evening.
Ah, and did he play Kiss Me Kate with you as well?
So have you seen Eric?
Not a hair on that bright red crown of his. But you might ask Bridget.
The barmaid nodded toward a shadowed corner of the pub where Anya made out a bright red and pink skirt slipping out from a booth.
The two are mighty close lately.
Thank you.
Anya slipped off the bar stool and walked across the room. Bridget smiled and leaned across the table to offer a hand, which Anya shook.
You're the television host Eric's been telling me about. He didn't tell me you were so pretty.
Thanks. I had no idea Eric had found himself a girlfriend so quickly.
Oh, we're just friends. He listens to my music, or rather tolerates it. I don't think he understands a word of what the band sings, but he's gracious about it. Where is the sweetie by and by?
You haven't seen him? He's disappeared.
Oh no! Like the others, taken by the fair folk. Eric told me that's why you two were here poking about.
I've got proof that it was a real person who took him from the forest where he was filming last night. He didn't try to contact you?
No, I don't have one of those fancy cell phones. He's been kidnapped by a real person. Oh, lordy.
Did Eric say anything to you about filming a segment for the show and surprising me? Maybe, say, making it look like he'd been taken by fairies?
Ugh, no, he didn't. You'd think that's what he's up to. Well, the boy is like to such foolery. I wouldn't expect he to fool you, though. He looks up to you, Miss Creed. Can't stop talking about you. So much I feared the two of you were. Well, you know. But now I see you're much older than he.
Right. I've got a few years on him, at least. Well, thank you. If you do hear from him...
I'll tell him you're looking for him.
The day was truly dreary. A fine mist grayed the sky. Hood tucked over her head, Anya called the local guardie from the iron phone box right outside the pub. The dispatcher for the local guardie station took the information from her about another missing person in the Ballybeg area.
It might be a few days before I can get an officer back down to the dig site. Fairies aren't real, you know. And don't think I'll find another officer willing to waste his time right now.
It's not fairies. A person or people have been kidnapping men and women from the dig site. Can I talk to your supervisor?
Hold on.
Anya wondered if calling Bart could get anyone moving, or if he even had contacts with any of the local police organizations in the country. Probably not. The line suddenly dropped the call. Anya slammed the phone on the hook.
Fine. I'll do it my way then.
By nightfall, the rain showed no intention of stopping. Anya dressed in black and tied her hair in a ponytail before going down to the dining room to root out something to snack on. Mrs. Riley stood before the window, arms crossed.
You skipped supper.
Eric's missing.
Oh, dear. You've looked in town for him. Talked to Bridget.
Yes, no one has seen him. It's dark, but I'm going out to walk around the dig site.
Be careful of the trucks if you're walking. They drive through every few days, so fast and loud.
Anya joined her side and looked out the window, but the road before the inn was clear of vehicles.
What trucks?
They head out toward your dig site, dear. I assumed they were a part of it all, hauling dirt and such.
We don't haul dirt from a dig site, Mrs. Riley. It's all put back in place when we're finished. I'm not sure what the trucks could be for. How many?
One or two. Delivery trucks, they look like. Always at night, though. Did you notify the Gardaí of your missing friend?
I did. And they didn't sound very concerned.
Well, it's their job to...
Thanks, Mrs. Riley. I'll be quiet when I return.
The day's hard rain made picking through the forest a challenge. The tree canopy wasn't thick enough to keep the forest bed from becoming slick, and every step Anya took, she had to be cautious not to fall and impale herself on one of the broken branches jutting out everywhere. She'd brought along night vision binoculars borrowed from Eric's equipment. When sneaking past Slater's camp, she noticed there was a truck trail leading around the forest and likely to River's Edge. There was no road beyond the tracks that had crushed the grass. Wesley told her there were docks here and there along the river. Anya decided to go through the woods to maintain her cover. She had trekked into the forest no more than a quarter of a mile when she saw the spotlights. A rusty delivery truck had backed up to the shore. From her position, hidden among the thick scrub, Anya couldn't determine how steep the shore was. But if there was no dock, then the drop-off couldn't be that steep. Half a dozen men were loading something from the truck to... She couldn't see beyond the end of the truck. The rain had softened to a mist, but it blurred her view of the activity. There must be a boat waiting below. She couldn't see a sail or hear a boat engine. None of the men spoke, or if they did, she couldn't make out any conversation from her distance. Whatever was going on, she couldn't figure how it would be related to the dig. They were not loading dirt from the dig and transferring it to a boat. But it seemed odd that a clandestine operation would be taking place right in the backyard of the dig. Was Frank Neville overseeing this operation? She would notice Slater if he were among the men. He had a distinctive walk, straight and militant. If he assumed the same role he did at the dig, his attention would not be on the men so much as scanning his surroundings. She adjusted the binoculars and scanned the back of the truck. It looked as if large wooden trunks were being unloaded from the open truck bed. Each trunk was about 5 feet long and maybe 3 or 4 feet wide. It required a man on each end, gripping the rope handles to heft them. Kneeling on the wet grass, Anya spotted the same security guard she'd had the displeasure of meeting the other night. Instead of a dart gun, he wielded an AK-47 against one shoulder and stood near what had to be steps down to the shore. One of the trunks dropped to the ground. The cover fell off. The guard quickly hustled over. Fine stuffing tumbled out of the trunk. The barrel of a gun slid across the wood trunk lid and landed on the muddy ground. She'd recognize that weapon anywhere. It was the same as the guard held, an AK-47. As Anya knew only too well, the AK-47 was the gun of guns, preferred by military types and terrorists worldwide. It was easy to use, easy to train others to use, sadly, even 12-year-olds, and could fire after being buried in the sand or pulled out of a mud puddle. A creepy feeling zeroed in on her gut, coiling tightly. Anya leaned back on her heels. She lowered the binoculars. If the trunks were full of assault rifles, there weren't many options to go with. She lifted the binoculars. An arm pressed across her throat. She was dragged backward across the wet undergrowth. Her attacker wrapped his legs around and over her thighs, effectively pinning her. He clasped her left hand and slammed it against her chest, leaving her right hand free to grope for the binoculars as a weapon. But she'd use a better weapon. Slapping the ground, she concentrated on a focused thought. She held the hilt of her sword, the blade flat across the ground.
Shh!
For the moment, Anya stilled. She didn't lift the blade. Michael Slater adjusted his chokehold, releasing her, yet slapping his palm hard across her mouth.
out for a joke. Don't answer. Be quiet, or they'll hear you.
Anya pulled the sword carefully across the ground so it would not make any noise.
Whatever you think you saw, forget it.
She nodded in agreement.
I don't trust you, Creed.
I was looking. He slapped up the chokehold again.
Careful. Quiet and smart. No shouting, no screaming. Got it?
She nodded again.
What are you doing out here?
I was looking for Eric.
The cameraman?
He disappeared last night in these woods.
And you thought the best time to look for a missing person was at night, with no moon to be seen, and a pair of night vision binoculars? Damn it. I'm giving you one chance tonight, Creed. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to sneak out of here the same way you came in. I can hold off the truck for another hour. But by then, you'd better be back in Ballybeg, snug in bed, yes?
You're running guns.
And you are running my last nerve.
Why are you doing this?
What? Snuggling with you in the mucky forest.
I mean, why are you not taking me in? Like you did with all the others who saw something they shouldn't have seen. You run out of LSD?
I had nothing to do with those disappearances. And I won't keep defending myself. Just go.
Is this Frank Neville's operation?
Stop asking questions. Have you got a death wish?
No.
Then do as I say. Get the hell out of here. I don't want to see your face tomorrow or any other day after. Got that?
Got it.
Anya opened her fingers across the wet grass. The sword left her grip, vanishing without Slater being the wiser to its presence. Slater directed as he stood and helped her stand with a tug of his grip.
Head out at an angle east. You make too much noise, Creed? I'll be forced to fire a warning shot so the blokes of the truck don't think I'm not keeping up my end. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
And Creed?
What?
I never have to fire beyond the warning shot, because I always hit my mark.
Warning shots aren't supposed to hit. They're just supposed to...
You're not moving, Creed.
I guess this is goodbye, then.
I'm not gonna miss you.
Anya marched past him, not bothering to look back. Slater watched her retreat, gun cocked and muscles tensed to react. After a few minutes, she reached the forest edge and was out of range of the gun-running operation. Kinsale was the harbor town the river opened onto. At first light, Anya intended to check out the town. Anya was sitting in the pub, laptop open on the bar. She hadn't wanted to bother Mrs. Riley for breakfast, and the pub opened for breakfast at 6. She thought about what she'd learned so far. Anya had looked up Eric Kritz's dad online, but the only information linked to him was the Queensmark Studios page. Marvin Kritz was listed as owner. His photo was an older version of Eric, right down to his thick eyebrows and shoulder-length red hair. She could find nothing else on him, not even a Facebook page. She admonished herself for being so suspicious, but knew it never paid to walk through life like a Pollyanna, trusting everyone. Marvin Kritz might just be a very generous father, or there could be something she'd missed on him. On a whim, she'd dialed New York. It was late at night there, but she knew Detective Bart McGilley wouldn't mind.
Anya, by the late check-in. You up for a jog around Prospect Park tomorrow morning? I'm in the mood for a little forest scenery.
Sorry, I'm out of the country at the moment.
Ah, then that means you have work for me. There's no other reason you'd call from out of the country unless you wanted something.
Oh, give me some credit, Bart. I don't always call to ask a favor, do I?
Yep.
All right, I have two names I need checked out. Frank Neville, whom I believe is a British citizen, though that may or may not be true, and Michael Slater. He may be British as well, or not.
I can search the databases in the United States on you, but if they're British citizens, it might not bring up any hits.
I thought you had contacts in the FBI and CIA.
Anya, what are you involved in?
I'm in Ireland, filming for Chasing History's Monsters. It's a segment about fairies.
Seriously? And?
I suspect the dig site is really a front for arms dealers. At least, that's the obvious conclusion after seeing a truck unloading trunks of AK-47s onto a boat last night.
Christ. Ireland has some of the weakest arms control legislation.
The man running guns isn't Irish, but I suspect British.
A British citizen doesn't need a license to broker small arms in Ireland. Hell, Anya, if you suspect it's guns, I want you to take a big step back and turn and walk away right now. No wait. Don't walk. Run. Let the big boys handle whatever it is you stepped into.
But who are the big boys? The local Gardaí have been contacted regarding 3 missing people, and I haven't even seen them. I called them to report my missing cameraman, and they hung up on me. It's as if they can't be bothered.
Missing people? Are you talking about guns or kidnap victims?
Both. The dig site is riddled with all sorts of illegal activity. I know it sounds crazy, but...
But nothing can ever be too crazy when it's coming from your lips, Anya. You forget I've gotten these calls from you before. So, you've got illegal weapons and missing people and no sign of the local authorities. What about MI6?
You think I should contact them? Yes, I suppose they would handle the weapons.
Unless they're already involved. Anya, you have no idea the twisted channels and butt-kissing that goes on between the criminals and legitimate government agencies.
I don't suspect anything right now. I have proof of nothing. But I feel these 2 guys are not on the up and up.
Tell me their names again.
Anya did, and Bart wrote them down.
Could you run 2 other names while you're at it?
Shoot.
Marvin Kritz and Daniel Collins. Kritz owns Queensmark Studios in Manhattan. The latter lives here in Ballybeg and collects wine and doesn't do much else. But that could be a front. His card showed up in the wrong wallet at a weird time.
You're filching wallets now? Not yet.
I didn't filch a thing. I just want to know what I'm dealing with here.
Doesn't sound like you're doing too much fairy chasing.
Bart, if you even think to start teasing me, we are going to meet in the ring at Eddie's when I get home.
Sounds like a fun time to me. It's been a while since you let me kick your butt. Tell Tinkerbell hey from me.
Not funny. Call me as soon as you have some information.
Will do.
Anya hung up, but knew Bart would have her back.
Hello?
Anya, I think you should come out to the site.
I'm on my way in just a bit. What's up?
There's something I wanted to tell you. Feel you out about a suspicion. And I found a very interesting item close to a femur that has been ravaged by animals. You'll want to take a look at it.
What is it?
I'll show you when you get here.
Anya flipped her phone shut, then nodded to the bartender that she didn't need a refill of her coffee. She packed up her gear and paid her bill. She'd better get to the site and see what Wesley was so worked up about. No workers hunched over the dig square. The sound of tapping trowels did not echo in the still air. Not a single industrious body waved hello as Anya got out of the Mini Cooper and strode across the dirt. Wesley tugged down the canvas tent tarp, letting it collect in thick billows on the ground. From the looks of the stacked buckets and folded tarps, he was in the process of packing up camp.
Where is everyone?
My crew is all gone. Slater paid them off.
How do you know Slater did that?
It's a guess, but I'm sure it's a correct one.
Putting on his sunglasses, Wesley stopped folding the tent. He gave the stacked tarp a kick.
So you're just quitting?
Can't do much without help, you should know that. Wasn't like I didn't expect it anyway. I was just hoping to get a little more time to dig deeper. But isn't that what any archaeologist always wants? Where's your puppy dog today?
Too stunned that the entire camp had committed mutiny, Anya scanned the horizon and focused on the other camp. Some commotion over there caught her attention. A white delivery truck was parked behind the tent, but it wasn't the same truck as last night. She couldn't make out people's faces from this distance, but there were only 3 that she counted.
Anya?
Huh? You haven't heard? He's gone. Eric disappeared.
No kidding. Like the others?
I suspect so. But it's not the other crowd taking them. I saw the video.
There was a video?
Eric went filming in the forest the other night. Mrs. Collins found his camera when she was out walking. I thought he was making a joke for the show, filming a sort of spoof. But after watching the replay, I changed my mind. Looks like he was forcibly taken.
Sorry. I don't know what to say. I wish I had some information.
Anya glanced to the enemy camp. She wanted to be over there right now. The makeshift tarp wall was no longer up.
You talk to Beth anymore? Did she say anything to you?
Honestly, she's still kind of out of it. The doctor said, being a diabetic, she had a severe reaction to the drugs. She was mumbling about fairies the last time I visited. You said Mrs. Collins found the camera. You ever think it's kind of odd that a little old lady spends her days bustling about our digs? And now she's the one to bring you proof of your friend's disappearance?
What are you implying?
Nothing. Maybe.
Just don't trust that lady.
She's probably 80 years old.
Age shouldn't matter. Sorry. I'm pissed over the loss of my crew. Should have expected as much after what I found last night.
Which is...
I think I've determined...